Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My mom's maybe 5'2", probably a little shorter than that. She had five kids in 6 years, starting at 1945. And then later on, she had three more boys that were given to her. But the first five, we were very close to each other. And one of the things we like to tease her about, even now, is how she acted when we were going to bed. You know, I'm sure at the end of the day, she would be more than happy to get us to go to bed. And so all of us slept upstairs in this house, and she and Dad slept on the lower half of the bed. Well, sometimes we'd go to sleep right away, but most of the time we didn't go to sleep all the time, as you can imagine if you have any children of your own. And so here's the five of us up out of the way, and we're giggling and laughing and getting out of bed and doing all sorts of things, until finally my mom couldn't stand it anymore, and so she'd yell at us. She'd yell up the stairs and say, "It's time to go to bed." And we, of course, listened to her like children listen to her, and we still didn't go to bed, Finally, she'd be yelling up there, and she says, "Are you listening to me?" And again, we'd kind of go, "Ah, yeah." But then we'd go back doing what we did before, and so the next thing we knew, she came upstairs and she had her wooden spoon. Now, I can never remember my mom ever using that wooden spoon on any of us. But she did bring it with her when she finally got it. She said, "Aren't you listening to me?" And, we might not have been listening to her, but when she came up there with that spoon, that wooden spoon, well, we learned what it was to listen. And in today's gospel reading, it talks to us about listening and listening to God. Let's face it, we are terrible listeners. Even though we spend 70% of our time in communication, 45% of it in listening, 30% in speaking, and 16% in reading, and 9% in writing. So, we spend a lot of time hearing the words, but we're not really communicating. Communicating takes place when we have shared understanding. Communicate or listening is not the same thing as hearing. There are sounds going into our ears, but there's not necessarily understanding. Listening, on the other hand, is communicating in a way so that we understand each other's. Now, there's any number of reasons why we don't listen. And especially in our discipleship, is one of those things that we hear the words, and you've all heard sermons on discipleship. So right now, by the difficulty I'm having is that you heard the word discipleship, and many of you are saying, "Well, I've heard this message before," So now you can start thinking about the game tonight, or what you're going to have for supper, or because you've heard this thing about discipleship. But I want to focus in on two things, and that is, why is it that we find it so difficult to listen to God, even though we hear Him? In this case of the gospel reading, the disciples definitely heard God. This is the second time that they have heard Jesus speak to them about His purpose in life. The purpose being to suffer, to die, and to rise again. This is the second time he has said that. He will say it three times in the Gospel of Mark. The first time that he said it, Peter heard some of the words that he said, and he took them aside, and he said, I can understand why you came, but all this talk about death and dying, you know, that's very upsetting. And I don't think you should, if you want people to follow you, I don't think you should be talking about it. And if you'll remember, Jesus said, that's Satan talking. That is not you talking. Now, we have the second time here that Jesus speaks to them. And then there's going to be a third time when he speaks to them. And again, they have now heard it three times what Jesus has said to them. But instead, what happens is that two disciples come to him and they say, would you give us a special favor? You know, would you let us sit, when you come into your kingdom, would you let us sit on one hand, one on the right and one on the left? So Jesus again had to talk to them about the meaning of discipleship and to share with them that it was not going to be this earthly kingdom that they were anticipating, but it was going to be a heavenly kingdom. He wants, in the gospel reading, he wants these disciples to understand why it is that he came and what he was doing. But they won't listen to him. And there are really two reasons, I think, that today's gospel lesson focuses on. One of the reasons we don't listen is what we could call premature judgment. And that is, they had already made up their minds what the Savior was going to be for them. So no matter what he was saying, all this other stuff was just noise. They heard words, but they didn't understand. And the second thing that they had is that they really feared the change that Jesus was asking to do. You will notice that it says they were afraid to ask. And I'm saying, they had a hunch about what it was about, but they were afraid to ask because Jesus was going to ask them to do something they really didn't want to do in following him. Note what happens in our reading. The message along the road suggests that they understood what the Messiah means, at least a part of it. And while Jesus was emphasizing his death and the resurrection, he was also telling them about the glory, about what happens after Jesus' death, and that is the resurrection and the anticipation of eternal life with him. They understood that part about the glory, but they were afraid. They were afraid to ask him what all of that meant. Perhaps as I was reading that, I thought, well, maybe they are pretty smart men, and maybe they're following the old axiom that it is better to remain silent and appear like a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubts. Nobody wants to be known as a dumb disciple. But let's face it, we are all, by nature, dumb disciples. So Jesus wants to give them another lesson in discipleship. First, he wants them to understand that it's not about status. As people and even Christians, we're all interested in upward mobility. I think about that advertisement that came out a few years ago, where these kids are telling what they're looking forward to, And one of the kids says, "I'm looking to be a middle management in some company," Or another one says, "Well, I I'm looking forward to spending my time filing papers. And remember that advertisement where they had all these different kind of things, you know, and in our thinking, what are we supposed to say? Well, that is, you know, you've got to do something better than that. But think about what we're saying. Somebody has to do that job. Somebody has to be middle management. Somebody has to file papers. Someone has to type with that thing. And all of a sudden we're saying, oh, but that's not worthy. And the same thing happens in our discipleship. And that is very often we forget that it's the most menial part of our discipleship that is the hardest to do. We remember that Jesus, while we're interested in upward mobility, Jesus and God is interested in downward mobility. Now that's a kind of a, you know, you're probably scratching your head, you know, because that is not where any of us are at. But we remember Paul, who noted that Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Here in our gospel reading today, Jesus says that if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last. And who is more last in society than children? More so in the society that Mark is writing to. In Mark's time, children were considered property. In fact, you know, they already made a decision that boys were better than girls, and many times girls would just be left out on the street if they were born. But Jesus points out that children are the most important people in the world. It is the very essence of who makes up the kingdom of God. You know, the emphasis here is on their smallness and their dependence and their trusting. That's why when he says that we must become like children, he's not talking about our size or our maturity, but he is saying, reminding us that we are small and dependent. Remember the when Jesus fed 5,000 people? You know, who was it that figured out that maybe God could do something with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread? It was a child. The disciples were saying, send them back to the city so that they can do what, you know, so they can find it on their own. If we want to welcome Jesus, we have to welcome children. And if we want to enter the kingdom of God, we have to enter it like children. And the second thing that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples is that it's not about you. You know, so many of our decisions are based on that. Jesus instead says, it's about servanthood. Now, the word servant in that time literally means those who wait on tables. Now, if you were to use the Greek word in our midst, you might say it is those who take the chairs out every Sunday and put them away. That's the place where they're at. But that word servant could also be mean minister. And here is where discipleship really takes some understanding, because when we talk about minister, what's the first thing that we think about? We think about, well, you know, Pastor Werfelman up here, Pastor May, and we say they help certain things that they do, and they minister to us. But the new way of looking at it, and what discipleship is all about, is that we are all ministers. No matter where we go, and if we are ministering, we certainly reach out more than just the pastor and the congregation. And more churches are finding that need. In one of the bulletins I one time read, and in fact I even put it in a bulletin for a while, it said, you know, the pastor of this congregation is Pastor Werfelman. The ministers of this congregation are all of its members. To remind ourselves of that. And so then this brings us to a third thing that is important, and that has to do with hospitality. You know, we don't often talk about our theology of hospitality. But ours is a welcoming God. And yet, how welcoming are we? You know, certainly the people that we know and the children that we know and our friends, we welcome them with open arms. But what about that person sitting next to us that we may not know? What about the stranger that comes in and tries to find a place at the back and instead has to wander to the front where everybody can look at him and say, I wonder who that person is, you know? That's sometimes how welcome we are. Or what about the mother in this building? It's not quite a big a problem, but if you're in a smaller building, one of the things that often happens is the mother sitting in the back or sitting in the row, and the kids are crying, and she's having difficulty, you know, taking care of the 2-year-old and the 5-year-old, and instead of helping, we kind of turn around and say, why doesn't that lady take her kids out until they stop crying? Just remember this. What God is saying here is that in welcoming people, we are welcoming God Himself. What if we believed that every person, and especially the stranger, was really Jesus Christ? Think about that for a moment. What if, you know, you looked at a person, and in so doing, you saw Jesus Christ? You know, in such a case, I think we would do more than just hear the words and listen to the words. I believe, you know, that we would listen to that individual with our whole heart and soul and mind. Finally, just to remind ourselves, being a Christian is hard work. It requires us to operate in our natural world, or not just in our natural world, but in God's world. And that world is strange indeed. The disciples struggled, even after the Easter, struggled to understand what life was all about. And they came to the conclusion it was not so difficult to understand the resurrection as it was to understand the cross. The going to the cross, the servant who willingly takes up his life and goes out and meets death. What Christ says to us today, He says to us many times, He said, let he who hears, let him listen. Let him listen to what the Spirit says to us. And so today, in our message, the disciples eventually got the point, but it was with great difficulty. And so, when we recognize our struggle in discipleship, we recognize that it is our work as people of God. It is a struggle. It's not always easy. And yet, we hear the words of God and we listen to Him, and He says, I am with you. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.